God is love. Now, love is a very broad term. Saying I love God is different than saying, or that I love peach pie. And it's a very specific peach pie that I love. To say we love something, to say that God is love, we need to be focused. We need to be focused because the Bible uses multiple terms that are translated into our English single word love. And so when we read in the Bible and in the Old Testament about God's love, we need to recognize that there's various words and characteristics. But today, I want us to look at one specific term. And this loyal love is what I want us to look at. So, in summary, when we read in the Old Testament these words about, and many times in the NIV, it's steadfast love. Like in Psalm 136, his steadfast love endures forever, repeated 26 times, that we're talking about a God who, this loyal love, it's not really emotion. It is also seen in the relationship of a husband and wife who are loyal, committed to each other, no matter what comes. This is loyal love, that there's this sense of commitment tied with unconditional love, and it's poured out generously. This is what we are imagining of who God is, and where does that take us? It takes us down the road to recognize that the Bible uses this idea multiple times. In the Old Testament, chesed is used 249 times, both in the sense of an action and as an object. The love, you know, the steadfast love of God as an object and as that action. So when we move together and look at all these things, we recognize that with it all, that this is also what Jesus is teaching when he talks about love. Because remember, you know, Jesus was a Hebrew. He was a Jew. He used the Hebrew language. And using the Hebrew language, when he there is in Hebrew, there's a word for affection and being enamored, which is different than chesed. And so we recognize that Jesus was using very specific terms when he was talking about the love of God. Then we also see in the New Testament that it shifts because we now talk in, and the original language of the New Testament is now Greek. We discover in Greek that there are three terms normally used for love. And when it comes to this loyal love of the Old Testament, many and most times it's translated in Hebrew, from Hebrew to Greek, as agape love, which is different than eros love, which is sensuality, as opposed to filial love, which is brotherly love. We have this agape and chesed together. And together, we begin to understand what it means to love. And it's interesting that the descriptions of how this love works itself out in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is in this idea of God being a shepherd. Not that God is a sheriff, but God is a shepherd. See that when because both of them have authority. A shepherd has authority and a sheriff has authority. The sheriff can pull you off the side of the road when you're going too fast. Or if there's other things going on. Sometimes people, when they think of God, they don't think of God as a shepherd. They think of God as a sheriff. But and I want you to think about that as we think back about those beautiful words that we have in Psalm 23. This poetic description of who God is. God as a shepherd. And it's a personal shepherd. God is my shepherd. And every need I have will be met. Whether it's having a place to rest, whether it's having ample food, whether it is being kept safe from animals, from those things, lions that might come and take us away. God is a shepherd. By which and in through this is how God expresses his love for us. So rest, presence on the journey, safety, trustworthiness, nourishment, all these things are wrapped up in this image of God as shepherd. Then Jesus and the writer John in the Gospel of John really picks up on this so well, this idea. We have some images of God, of Jesus, in the Gospel of John that we don't find other places. This whole, like in John 10, where the shepherd is very seen as the one who cares for the sheep, the one who cares for us. So the shepherd does not sneak into the pen. And it's interesting, when I think of this, the image for me is that the pen is used to hold the sheep at night. And though there are many flocks or different flocks in the same village, they all use the same pen. Isn't that interesting? So that it only takes one guard at the gate to take care of all the flocks. In the morning, the shepherd of his flock comes up to the gate, into the gate. He calls his sheep, and he knows them by name. And from out of this mass of sheep, a certain flock walks out. It's this shepherd's flock. So the flock know the shepherd has a name for them. They recognize his voice, and when he calls, out of the mass of other sheep, they follow the one master. And that's, again, how interesting that is. For the shepherd leads his sheep, he doesn't herd them. Having raised sheep for 4-H as a boy growing up, honestly, I was never a shepherd. I was a herdsman. And we had to work with that. But in Jesus' example, talking about this, Besides the sheep knowing his voice, and the sheep each having name, Jesus desires that each of his flock have life and life to the full. What is life to the full? For me, that's that beautiful thing of living and with a sense of satisfaction. To have that sense of fulfillment. Again, excuse the personal reference here. I've known my fulfillment in life as a pastor. No matter if there's been rough times or good, grandiose times, sad times, whatever, I don't know when it was in my ministry, I came to this understanding that God called me for this. And being a pastor has been a sense of fulfillment. This has been life for me and life to the full. And it's my desire, has always been my desire, for each of us to find that sense in God. This is who God created me to be. And doing this, being this, is fulfillment. I have seen it in the eyes of farmers. I've seen it in the lives of business people, entrepreneurs. I know there are people who are accountants that this is their call in life. And recognizing that this is who God created me to be, there is this fulfillment of life and life to the full. And then this last statement that Jesus makes about the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And isn't that the story of Jesus' ministry, his life, his death, and his resurrection? So, hesed, agape, this love is God, is Jesus. And so we have to ask for ourselves, how have we been impacted by that love? Love that is unconditional, generous, and an enduring commitment, how has it impacted us? Is it the impact, our reason for loving God today? Our commitment to Jesus Christ. We love Jesus because He first loved us. And what is the extent of our love? How do we extend love, this kind of holy love, to our family? Not just a biological family, but how do we extend it to our faith family? These are important questions. And what about our neighbor? Does this holy love find its place in the way we relate to our neighbors? Let's take a step even more practical. What happened to you this week? Think back. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Right now, what sticks out in your mind from last week? Was it a good week? Or was it not so good a week? Sit down on one experience. Was it a place where you had the opportunity to express holy love? Or was it a situation where it didn't quite happen? Honestly, for holy love to have meaning in our lives, it has to have the ability not only to be experienced, but also be an action of who we are. None of us, starting with this guy, none of us are perfect. And so we are in the challenge. We face a challenge all the time. Do we let the love of God, who has given us the opportunity for eternal life, opportunity also to live that eternity right here and now, how have we gotten in the way of expressing that love? And how might we become more and more, grow in our ability to live in this love, this agape, this chesed that the Bible speaks to. And I submit to you two things. We need to go deeper into that love that we have for God. Because the deeper that well is in us, the more it can spring up from within us to go out to others. The image I have is that of an artesian well. That we get so deep into the source of God's love for us that it becomes a natural outflowing of God's love to others. For the steadfast love of God endures forever. The steadfast love of God endures forever. The steadfast love of God endures forever. Shall we pray? Oh Lord God, we confess to you that your love for us is so great because it's unconditional. We can't earn it. We can't do anything to be able to buy it. But you offer it to us as a gift. Lord, may your gift of life to us through your unending love, may that be the source of our love for our family, for our faith family, for our neighbor. Amen.